nice and always tender. It's red and sore. But I didn't realize I need to quit doing that. Get a little bit too big of her. The message tonight is called to compassion. And as we heard Timmy's prayer request about his friends getting shot, there's definitely some need for some compassion in our world today. I mean, you don't have to go very far, just around the corner to the store or down the road. People are just edgy and angry and just frustrated and just all kinds of problems in their life. It don't take much to set them off. But, message may be more for me than anyone else. I've had some situations where I could have done a lot better, and I just had to go to the Lord and ask Him forgiveness and just try to do better. Can't change the past, but I can try to do better the next time. Just get in the Word and see what it has to say. And I'm going to go to 1 Peter 3:8, where I'm going to begin. It says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And for he that will love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, that they may speak no guile." And let's just go to the Lord as we begin here, and let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, that we have you as our Lord. And Lord, you've shown us the way, Lord, and you've taught us in your word. Help us, Lord, to pattern ourselves after your actions, Lord, and your thoughts, Lord, and be more compassionate and loving to our neighbors, Lord. We just pray, God, you'd help us not to be in such a hurry, Lord, and just stressed out, but to love our neighbors like your word says, Lord. And we ask for your help this day, Lord. We just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. But it says, "Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous." And it says, "Ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." And we all, as Christians, are called to be compassionate and loving. And we know the two great commandments in the Word of God is to love the Lord our God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we can look at 1 Corinthians 13. It's known as the love chapter, I believe. It says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, have not charity, I become as tinkling brass, a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. But though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up." And I had to look up the word vaunt. I wasn't familiar with that. It means not to be bragging or boastful. And it says not to be puffed up. It's talking about there. It says, "And doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, and believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." But so charity is very important in the eyes of the Lord in our life and towards Him and towards others. And we can look at the last verse in that chapter, verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." So we got to have love one towards another. And So many times I find myself at work, I try to be a hard worker and stay busy and get as much accomplished as I can, and I get too much focus, I think, in just my little zone and forget about everything around me. And you got to concentrate on what you're doing. You can make mistakes, but at the same time, you know, I need to interact with those around me and be a witness for the Lord and, you know, be a friend to others. But sometimes I just get too much, just like a robot, just zoned in on what I'm doing, and don't get in my way, don't slow me down, anything like that. You know, just go all day. But the Lord doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to help those around us and be that light. He wants us to be a friend to those in need. And like I said, I've found myself too many times get in traffic and I get stressed out when people are cutting me off and things like that. You know, there's many instances I can look at my own life and say I could do a lot better. You know, Lord, I need your help. And 1 Corinthians, it says we are called to be a blessing, but that we might inherit a blessing. We reap what we sow, the Bible tells us. And if we're being that blessing to others, you know, you're going to get blessed yourself. It's going to come back to you. But not always. There's going to be times when people are not going to treat you right. They're going to be just like what I said I've been acting like. But we need to treat them right, whether they treat us right or not, and be that example and that pattern for God to use us. And Romans 12 and 14, it says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And so there's a lot of instances you're going to run into people that really don't care what you think about them, and they don't care about treating you right. The world's full of people like that. You can just look at the different countries, how they treat each other, you know, wanting to be lord over the other, and the other serve them more or less. But it's just a mixed up, crazy world we live in. But if we all act a little more like Jesus, you know, things would go a whole lot smoother. But if continue like they're going nowadays, Sister Betty and I was visiting a little bit before church. She's talking about how wicked things are now, and said it's always been around, but nothing like it is now. It just seems to get worse and worse as time goes on. But that's just the way it's supposed to be in the Bible. It says we'll live in perilous times, dangerous times in the last days, and I do believe we are right before the Lord's return, looking at the last days that we live in. And I want to look at a few examples in the scriptures where folks totally missed it, you know, as far as compassion. And so it's not just in our day, even way back then, it was the same then. You know, there's people, when someone messes up, they come to the Lord and they repent, get their heart right, and they call out to the Lord, and they get things as straight as they can with the Lord, make it all right. Don't think it's always going to be rosy with everyone around you. You know, they're not always going to appreciate that. Just like Brother Pepper's testimony, I believe, just a week ago, and he's talking about when he got saved, how his mom wasn't too pleased with him. And she got very angry, asked him to leave the house. And some countries, when you accept the Lord, you could be facing a death threat, and it could cost you everything. So not everyone's going to be pleased when you repent, when you come to the Lord and get things right with Him. In Luke 15 and 17, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and had to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son.' And the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, 'Thy brother is come, and to thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said to him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine.' And it was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost and is found." And we know this as the prodigal son. He took his inheritance. He went out, wasted riotous living, and he ended up in the hog pens there feeding the swine. And it wasn't until he came to himself and realized, you know, how bad he had messed up. And he said, "I'll humble myself and go back to my father and tell him what a big mistake I've made. You know, I've really messed up. I just want to be your servant." But the father was quickly there reaching out to him in open arms and had compassion on him. But it says the older brother, he came and he was very angry. He said, "This thy son." He wouldn't say his brother, but his father had to kind of calm him down a little bit and let him realize, you know, just how it was good that they celebrate, because he had came back and made things right. And so we had one in the family was happy about it and one that wasn't. And it's going to be that way in a lot of situations. You know, just about any situation, anyone that comes back to the Lord, there's going to be those that are rooting you on, those that are going to find fault. You know, they're going to be upset with you. They're not going to be pushing you forward. They're going to be pushing you back and finding fault. In Luke 7:36, it says, "One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answering said to him, 'Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee.' And he said, 'Master, say on.' There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered, I said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. And my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they said, they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. So the Lord didn't deny that she had sinned. He said, her sins, which are many, excuse me, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And here, these ones that invited him here to this house anyway, and they're finding fault with this one that just showed up and was honoring the Lord and just worshiping him and just showing how great she thought he was, but yet they didn't realize even who he was. They didn't realize he could even forgive sins. And yet says, Thy sins are forgiven. And anyway, it's going to be that way in a lot of cases. You know, when we see different groups of people, there's always going to be some for you and some against you. And some going to be the devil's advocate and some's going to be the Lord's helpers. In Luke 19 and 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come into thy house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm thankful that the Lord is friend of the sinner, the one that really needs him. That's why he came here in the first place, is to redeem us and to make a way that we could make it into heaven with the Father and him. And only through Jesus can we get to heaven, to the Father. But I'm thankful that he dines with sinners. He comes and has fellowship with them. But Zacchaeus, he had a heart. He was reaching out to the Lord, and he wanted to know more about him and be a part of his kingdom. He humbled his heart and welcomed the Lord to his house. But he has started making restitutions. He knew he had done wrong. So we can see a change in his life. Immediately, he was a tax collector, I believe, if I remember right, but he was probably took some that he shouldn't have or was dishonest about it. But anyway, he's making restitution best he could. Said, I restore him fourfold if he had taken any man by false accusation. And this day is salvation come to thy house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm thankful he came looking for me also. He sent someone down the road to talk to me, and I didn't know him. But I didn't go looking for the Lord, even though I needed him desperately. All of us did, but he came looking for us. He sends people out with a mission to reach out to the lost. That's the purpose of every born-again Christian. We should do the same. Once he saves us, we should go out and reach others. And we can look at another story about Jonah, and we're all familiar with the story. But he was sent by the Lord to Nineveh. We know that he ran at first, and the Lord had to deal with him and get him in a position where he would obey him. And then he went. But in chapter 3 and 5 of Jonah, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest even of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil which he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." And since the Lord repented, He's never sinned, but that word repent means he changed his mind. And he decided not to destroy Nineveh because they had a heart change. They humbled their heart. And if anyone should have been excited and thrilled, it should have been the evangelist going and sending the word, you got to repent or else. And that's exactly what they did. And they were wicked people. From what I've heard, they flayed their enemies alive and things like that. And it was turned from that all the way to humbling their heart and turning to the Lord and, putting on sackcloth. That's quite a change. And they believed the Lord, and we couldn't ask for any more than that. But we look at chapter 4 in verse 1, "And it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled from to Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." So he is acting like a little spoiled kid that didn't get his way, throwing a temper tantrum. But we see how God was patient and working with him, but like I say, there couldn't have been a better outcome for the people that he went to preach to, but yet he was dissatisfied. In John 8 and 3, it says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hast no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And yet we see again that she was guilty, she had sinned, but he was forgiven. He was shown compassion and mercy. They was just wanting to do away with her. And when he started writing on the ground, he probably wrote something down there that they were guilty of themselves. And it was bringing guilt and conviction to them. And they just couldn't deal with that. They had to, well, we better just forget about it and go our way, you know. But anyway, I'm thankful that the Lord is compassionate. He's long-suffering and gentle. And so many times others are ready to do away with us, but Jesus is there reaching out with a heart of love. In Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So if we consider ourselves living where we need to be, we need to reach out and help those that have messed up. That's what it's telling us here. It says, "Lest you be tempted, and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." In Micah 6:8, it says, "He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And so he wants us to be merciful and forgive others and do what is just and right and walk humbly with God. And if we get that done, we'll be a lot better off than what we are so many times, you know, if we just remember those three things. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord. And Romans 3:24. It says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." And so we are justified freely by his grace and through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's only through the blood of Christ that we can have our sins forgiven. But we come before God destitute. I was reading one of my devotions quite a while back, but this just went along with this. When we come before God, we repent and we poured out our heart to him and we've asked for his help and he's made things right. You know, like I said, there's some still going to find fault with us. There's others going to be happy for us and praying for us. But yet, we have no bargaining chip when we come to God. It's just, "Here it is, Lord. This is what I've done. I've asked you to forgive me, and I can't do anything about it except say I'm sorry. Just help me, Lord." And that's all we can do. And he justifies us freely by his grace. Grace means unmerited favor. We can't do anything to deserve it. No good works, nothing to bargain with the Lord with. You know, we just come to him and tell him how it is, and he forgives us and makes us clean. And we start out in a clean slate, and we do better. Titus 3:5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thank the Lord for his mercy and his kindness he's shown us so many times. And we can't thank the Lord enough. You know, I know myself, you know, I can't think how many times in the past I've messed up, but I know it's a bunch of times, but the Lord's always poured out his grace and mercy to me, and I just appreciate him and can't thank him enough for what he's done for me. And I want to look at a few scriptures now, how the Lord's attitude was towards people. He was a lot more compassionate than his creation was to one another. In Matthew 14:14, it says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion towards them, for and he healed their sick." And there's a bunch of times in the New Testament he came and people were in need, they needed healing, and he healed all that was present. And so if they just came and told him what their need was, he would reach out and help them. In Matthew 20 and 30, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace, and they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood and called them and said, What wilt thou that I should do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." So once again, whatever their need was, he was able to meet it, and he was willing. He showed compassion. In Mark 1 and 40, "So there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said to him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." And we look at Mark 8 and 1. "In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said unto him, and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, have nothing to eat, and if I send them away fasting to their own homes, they will faint by the way, for divers of them come from far. His disciples answered him, Whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he said to them, How many loaves have you? And he said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. They had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. They that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away." So once again, here they had been following him for 3 days. They were evidently hungry to hear what Jesus had to say. And how many of us would go and follow after something spiritual like after 3 days with nothing to eat? That they had a hunger there for more of God, and the Lord blessed them because of it, and he didn't send them away hungry. And Luke 7 and 11, And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him unto his mother. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And so, once again, what more could you ask for? I mean, the best thing possible there the Lord did for her. He's seen her need, and she was a widow, and no one to help support her, and she was in need, and her son had passed away, and he just touched him, and immediately he rose again, come back to life. And First John 3:17. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So when we see someone in need and we can help them, we should be willing and ready to do so. We should have compassion on them, and don't just say, go be filled and be warm or whatever, but whatever you can do to help them, we need to do it and be that friend to them. So 1 Peter 3:9, back first scripture shared, it says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. But it says, verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love us, brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. But we're all called to that calling, to be compassionate to our neighbor, to help them when we can. And turn it back to Pastor.